Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We were joking about peer pressure before, but you know, seriously, generally when you hear the phrase peer pressure, it's bad, right? You're talking about
peers. The case of a certain kind of weakness. You know, if you can't stand up to peer pressure, there's maybe something wrong.
Right, because we often assume that peer pressure is doing things like getting you to try drugs, getting you to smoke cigarettes, right? Getting, engaging in what's called bad behavior.
No, thanks. I don't want any. No, I quit.
Right, okay. You're just saying no.
I never smoked.
And the Just Say No campaign could be seen as sort of, I guess, another kind of positive peer pressure.
But in fact, change happens because people see other people doing things and they decide to get involved. I mean, there's a network of pressure.
Aha! There comes our guest. Tina Rosenberg, Pulitzer Prize-winning author. New book is called Join the Club, How Peer Pressure Transformed the World. And that network, Tina, that John was just talking about, why we do things because we're seeing other people do them, that's the subject of your book.
That's right, Celeste. I mean, we all know what peer pressure is, and I think we're all afraid of it, especially if we're parents. But the point that I make in my book is that peer pressure is a very powerful force that doesn't have to be used for bad ends. It can also be used for good ends. A lot of people get motivated to do things not because they're given new information or because people appeal to fear, but because they're given a new group to identify with.
You know, I was fascinated by the fact that you got your inspiration from this book while you were in Eastern Europe, because your last book, The Haunted Land, could actually be seen as a really pretty disturbing portrait of bad peer pressure, you think. I mean, you're talking about former communist states and how they decide morally who's to blame, where to assign blame and who to punish. So you've got peer pressure as a force of evil there.
I wouldn't call that peer pressure. I mean, that came from above. Peer pressure is something that really comes from people who you feel are like you.
All right, but you got your inspiration for this book by watching those forces that opposed Slobodan Milosevic.
That's right. It was a group of young people, students at Belgrade University, and in 1998, 11 of them gathered, and they said, let's overthrow the dictator. And everyone thought they were insane. And they thought to themselves, what do we need to do? What we need to do is not tell Serbia that Milosevic is a bad guy. Everyone knows already. What we need to do is motivate them, get them out of their house and onto the street, get them politically active. And they went about doing that in a way that I have never seen before. They did it using the guiding spirit of Monty Python's Flying Circus. They used humor. They used coolness. They made their movement into the party everyone wanted to join. It was based around street pranks, street theater, cool graphics, cool T-shirts. It gave Serbs the chance to become heroes in their own eyes and the eyes of their friends. And they grew from 11 people to 70,000 people in 2 years, and Milosevic fell.
Do you see signs that those same kind of things are occurring in the Middle East, that there's peer pressure working in some of these uprisings?
Well, the people who started this group in Serbia then formed an organization that now goes around training folks who are in democracy movements around the world. And among the groups they trained was the April 6th movement in Egypt. And you can see in the tactics that we saw in Tahrir Square a lot of the tactics that this group in Serbia had used. And that's because they were trained by the Serbs.
It doesn't just necessarily have to be political, but one of the things that seems to strike me is that in order for your method to work, there has to be a groundwork of information already laid out. You point to the fight against AIDS in South Africa, but in order for that to work, people need to already know how one gets AIDS, how it's transmitted, and how to avoid it.
That's usually, people usually already do know that. Take, for example, teens and smoking. Is there a teenager around who doesn't know that smoking is bad for you? In fact, teens overestimate the dangers of smoking. They think it's actually more dangerous than it is. But that's part of its appeal to teenagers. The only program that has ever worked in the United States to keep teens from smoking is a program that allowed teens to rebel against the tobacco companies. It gave them the same sense of autonomy and rebellion that they got by smoking, only now they can get it by not smoking.
Oh, that's interesting. So let's talk speed here for a moment, Tina Rosenberg. Would you say that it takes less time to encourage someone to do something dangerous, perhaps, with the peer pressure, or more time or less time to encourage someone to do something that they thought maybe was negative, had a negative stigma attached to it. Say, for instance, take action against the spread of AIDS.
Mm-hmm. It depends on what the social norm in the wider society is. If you're trying to establish a group to help people buck that social norm, that can take time.
But let me ask you, Tina Rosenberg, we're speaking to Pulitzer Prize-winning author, and her new book is called Join the Club, How Peer Pressure Can Transform the World. I mean, the danger here, Tina, is that this method of using peer pressure to motivate a large group of people, that's a neutral tool. Who is deciding which cause is good or which is bad?
Well, you are, or I am. I mean, if I decide that I want to exercise more, and the way to do that is to get a group of my friends together who also want to exercise more, then I'm using this method, which I call the social cure. I'm gathering a group of people to hold me accountable and to support me, and I do the same for them. Everyone can do it themselves. I'm not suggesting the government's decree you have to use peer pressure in this way or that. This is, you're right, it's a neutral tool that can be used by people who want to encourage social change of all kinds.
But does that suggest that let's get on our Stairmasters and lose weight and also get rid of Bashar al-Assad in Syria?
Well,
do they go together?
I mean, it's something that can work for very personal things.
Well, but let's talk about those personal ones there.
Global dramas.
Let's talk about those personal ones there, because you mentioned weight loss in your book, but that's a really kind of powerful argument the other way, which is that communities like Weight Watchers, for example, or ones that use peer pressure to get people to lose weight, as soon as that community dissipates, as soon as people lose their weight and they leave, those changes go away. Most people regain that weight.
It's very difficult to keep weight off, but there's a lot of other communities that you can form that do have lasting impact. For example, if you don't start smoking as a teenager, chances are you're not going to start smoking. If you can get that peer pressure going in the right direction in those crucial years, it will save lives forever.
All right, so Tina Rosenberg, pick for me one cause you think would be best ameliorated by peer pressure at this point.
Well, in the United States, one of the ones that I'm very interested in is it's a way to make people healthier while bringing down health care costs. And the reason is that a lot of the unnecessary deaths and illness in the U.S. and billions of dollars are spent because of poor treatment adherence. We come out of the doctor's office and we promptly forget everything the doctor says to us. We don't take our pills on time. We don't eat more healthily. We don't follow orders. And the proven method to help people adhere to their treatment is something that was invented overseas and used. It's now in use globally to cure tuberculosis, and it's called directly observed treatment. Somebody comes to your house and watches you take your pills.
It's part of her new book, Join the Club, How Peer Pressure Can Transform the World. That's Tina Rosenberg, Pulitzer Prize-winning author. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And TB compliance is actually a huge public health issue all over the world and in the United States. Guess what everyone's doing? Calling us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You should, too. What's your personal story of the power, positive or negative, of peer pressure? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or reach us at thetakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry, and I'm going to exercise today because Tina says.
Because if not, I will mock you tomorrow.
Like
I'm
Tina.
Celeste Headlee.
If you want to
this is the takeaway.
Powerful peer pressure. I'm John Hockenberry.